Paul the Apostle. I've been listening to a lot about Paul. As I've made my way through the Lent book we will be discussing in just a few weeks, called After Jesus and Before Christianity. And I've heard a lot about Paul since last Sunday. A reading that sounded like it had all the wit and wisdom of an irate street preacher yelling, "Fornication!" at people. A reading that on first blush seems intolerant and negative, and has certainly been used to attack people in the past with body shaming and accusations of moral uncleanness or depravity. And for those of you who'd like to look up last week's reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. I'm not going to preach on that reading, though. But after the discussions I've had with a number of folk in this past week, I think I need to address, and this is one of those sermons where I'm trying to address something that's in the community rather than pulling something out of our scriptures today. So I think I need to address what we do with our readings. With readings such as last week, which cause strong negative reactions and seem to say things which are difficult to hear, intolerant, condemnatory, judgmental, should the preacher always choose to address that reading? Should we take them out of our cycle of readings? Should we at least make mention of them, acknowledging that we have scriptures that are problematic for us, even if we choose not to preach on them? In fact, I can remember at least once I've said, "Well, that was a doozy, and I'm not doing anything with that." And here's my thinkings at present. We have a lot of difficult scriptures, and they are a part of our scripture story. To take them out of rotation may perhaps be more to do with sanitizing our scriptures than really giving us a full view of the biblical picture. To hear them is actually part of knowing the varied, contradictory, confusing, and sometimes offensive nature of scriptures, along with the inspired and challenging and life-giving nature of our sacred text. Sometimes in the same passage, we will find something that makes us say, "Heck no," alongside beautiful and uplifting words of grace. For instance, in last week's reading, alongside the negative comments about lying with prostitutes, possibly sacred prostitutes, but there's some discussion in the theological world about whether that happened, there was the admonishment to value and to love the body. That it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul himself is wrestling with the liberty of grace and how to act in a way that is proper. And it does seem that the Corinthians were having a high old time, to the point that it was affecting their own community negatively and the way that they were viewed negatively. So it was affecting the sharing of the gospel. Many of our scriptures, particularly in the Christian texts we call the New Testament, are in the process themselves of evolving, wrestling with the real everyday lives of, and everyday events of the lives of the communities for which they're written. Within the different letters of Paul, for instance, we see different advice to different communities, sometimes conforming with the standards of Roman society and the shape of the household, the oikonomia, as was expected in that society. Sometimes, more often than not, more often than we realize, radically at odds with the values of empire. Take today's passage, taken from the following chapter from last week's reading. In 1 Corinthians 7, we have advice to be detached from this world, to treat the world as something that's passing away, and live, if married, like being unmarried, to no longer mourn or rejoice, to hold no stock in possessions, and to have no dealings with this world. This is Paul at his most eschatologically poetic. He's convinced that the eschaton, the end of time, the return of Christ, the coming of the reign of God is imminent, to the point that it might even happen as he's writing. So don't be attached to the things of this world, because something new is coming. And yet, he's also concerned with how the Corinthians are behaving. just as all of his letters address the way in which the communities he is writing are living. As for no longer mourning or rejoicing, he's contradicting here the advice he will give to the Jesus movement in the letter to the Romans, a letter probably written around the same time as this 1 Corinthians, or maybe just after. Romans chapter 12 sees Paul telling the community to have deep empathy with all. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing, weep with those who weep. Paul is working it out, making it up as he goes along. And he doesn't always get it right. And that's okay, because nor do we, even though we think we do. Which is why we gather around these scriptures in community and hopefully don't just rely on a preacher week by week. It's why we have sermon circle and Sunday reflections, which I would very much like to be doing both in person and online, and we will work at that this year. It's why we chat over coffee and meet for study and conversation. And it's why when we do have a scripture that's particularly thorny, such as last Sunday, we can talk about it. And have been doing for this past week, if the conversations I've been part of are anything like. And we can read around it. And I do recommend looking at workingpreacher.org from Luther Seminary. They have a commentary on every Sunday reading for every Sunday morning. And they also have a library of past commentaries and sermons. We will hear things in our Sundays, in our Sunday readings which disturb us, and they should. I know it's difficult when they don't get addressed, particularly for those who are visiting or new to the community. So we as preachers, sorry John, speaking on your behalf here as well, will endeavor to make mention of when something is difficult, even if we can't address it at the time. But what we are doing here Sunday by Sunday is breaking the bread of life in the Eucharist and seeking to break open the scriptures so that each of us can ponder our part in this ever-changing, ever-evolving dance of spirit. We preachers do not have the definitive way of understanding the Bible. Sorry, folks, I know you thought I had all the answers. But we bring our own words, seeking to speak a word of faith to our community, which is what all of our sacred texts do. Whether the fable of Jonah, the stories of Jesus the Christ and the early Jesus movements, or the letters, the stories, the visions, the dreams, the wisdom texts, the prophetic declarations, the poems, the hymns, and the mythic histories of our forebears in faith. All of them are asking the same question: where is God in all of this? And seeking to give some answers, no matter how slippery or convoluted those answers may be. So lastly, I do want to just say a few words regarding our readings for today. I did think I needed to acknowledge some of the concerns I've heard in this last week. Our challenge from today's text, perhaps, is that we're being asked what we take with us on this journey together. Paul says, while being absolutely devoted to one another and to love, for this same letter to the Corinthians is going to have that wonderful, if I speak in the tongue of mortals and of angels, just a few chapters later. Paul says, as well as that, don't be attached to the things of this world. Perhaps, as one of our sermon circle folks, Susan, suggested, it's better to think in terms of the Buddhist idea of detachment, one that's not about not caring, but about internal well-being and balance, where one is still capable of great love, but without allowing oneself to be caught up in the storms of life or investing time and energy in things that cannot be possessed, not allowing the outside world to rule our inside world. We see it in the story of the calling of the first disciples, where we are told they leave everything to follow Jesus. I wonder how many others Jesus approached before he got to those. The story seems to be presenting us just as Paul was in his writing to the Corinthians with a promise that no matter what we leave, we are entering into more. Entering into community, a new kind of community, a new way of being and belonging and becoming. Perhaps we are being called to leave behind old categories of thinking, even thinking about scripture, as we wrestle with its part in our common life, and how we can continue to peel the layers from our scriptures together, that they may inspire as well as disturb us, that they will show us who we are as part of this greater story of the divine, within, amongst, and beyond us. Perhaps we too are being asked what it means to follow, individually and as community. So let us continue on this journey together. Thanks be to God. Amen.